B-Pod Studios.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Zolak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
What is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. The elusive Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge, hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
We are fantastic. Thank you for joining us. There were many twists and turns. You were supposed to come on after the draft, and then such and such happened. We'll get into all of it. It's very exciting.
Very, very exciting, Brett.
Yes, that's what I'm here for, baby.
Well, let's just start off with this, Danny. What happened with Gordon Hayward?
Well, we set out to try to get Gordon to come back. That was our number one goal in the offseason, was to get Gordon back with the Celtics. He's a terrific player. And I just think that he preferred to go somewhere else, and he made his choice to go to Charlotte. And I don't know what else to say about it. There was a lot of discussion. I think there was hope. We had all the way to the end that he would return. But, you know, I think he preferred to be a more featured player. And Charlotte was paying him a lot of money, and he chose to go there.
Did he tell you why he wanted to leave?
I had numerous talks with Gordon. I have a good feeling. I have a good opinion of what that is, but I would let him share those opinions.
Well, what's your opinion?
As opposed to me. Yeah, I'm not sharing my opinion. I'll let Gordon.
Did it seem like there was something other than the amount of playing time? Was there anything else, any more to it? Because, I mean, there's, you know, a perception that, you know, people, when they saw this happen, they took a look at, you know, the last, you know, three big names that were Celtics who are no longer Celtics. And, you know, you had Al Horford, you know, Kyrie Irving as well, which I don't think anybody is sad to see him go. And then Gordon Hayward, but all three of them did leave. And there's a perception that the Celtics are having a hard time keeping big name players. Is that a fair assumption? And that's why I think people want to know why Gordon Hayward decided to leave.
I would like to know what you guys think. Like, you guys are the one feeding information to people. Like, what is your opinion of that last assessment?
That's why we have you on, Danny. So you can be the guy, because, I mean, if anyone would know, it would be you.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, all three of those individuals had completely different experiences and perspectives and reasons, and they're all different. And I know that a couple of those individuals, at least one of those individuals would do anything to get back. And we have many, many players. We have many, many players that have left, have spent time here, that have left, that have asked to do all they could to get back to Boston. So I don't think it's anything in the culture. I don't think, you know, players, listen, a lot of it is, we know, it's about how much you get paid. It's about what opportunities you have on the court and what your opportunities to win are. And some players have different priorities and different phases of their career and for different reasons. And I don't think it's that complicated. And then, you know, there's also the reason that some players prefer living in a different city for family reasons, or make it, you know, just to make their lives more simple. Some people choose to live in Sunshine, but, you know, those, we can only control what we can control, and we're not worried about what our players think, because I think that overall our players think very highly of our culture, of the system, of Boston fans, and playing basketball in a Boston Celtics uniform.
So the way the Gordon Hayward thing went down was interesting. It was, you know, first you guys agreed that you would have two extra days before he decided whether to opt in or opt out. Now, Indiana president of operations, Kevin Pritchard, he's on record as saying that they did want Gordon Hayward, and because he also stated that Hayward, he was told that Hayward wanted to be in Indiana. He also said that they made an offer that they believed was overpaying, but you went back to them with a price that he said, once again, was too much. We've seen, of course, the reports from Gary Washburn and the Indy Star of what they threw out there. Things like Miles Turner, a first-round pick, Dougie McBuckets. You don't need to comment on that. But reports are that you wanted something more than that. And meanwhile, here comes Charlotte, and they end up taking him away. The perception was that you took a gamble, and then it didn't pay off by asking for more. Is that fair?
That's not even close to fair. I think that, and I'm not defensive about that. I understand that perspective from, because if you don't, you know what I know, then you really don't know at all what happened. And it's hard to talk about what teams, I prefer not to talk about what trade proposals teams make. And the other thing is 99% of all trade conversations are one team or another thinks that the other team is asking too much or for their player. And like I said, all along we had intended to keep Gordon, and we knew what all of the options were. We knew we could extend Gordon. We knew that he could opt into his contract. We knew that we had a signed trade potential. We had conversations with a handful of teams in regard to that, and we knew that he could sign into cap space. And we knew all four of those options and what they were. So any trade that came on, you know, it had to be a trade that we wanted, not a trade just to let Gordon go somewhere where he wanted to play. It had to be something that was good for the Celtics and good for all of, you know, for our business, for our luxury tax, for our personnel, and the cost of their contracts. So there was a few teams that we did talk to about that, and we just didn't feel like any of them were worthwhile for us to pursue.
Did the Charlotte offer come out of nowhere?
I wouldn't say out of nowhere, no. We knew Charlotte was a viable team. We knew that they had interest in Gordon.
Were you shocked by the money?
I was not. No, I think the money was not, I mean, I think Charlotte was probably the highest bidder. I don't know that for sure, but I think they were. And I think that it was, you know, all the teams were not so far away from that number of having Gordon play for him.
Well, the one thing that he got out of Charlotte, which was good, because for a while, you know, there was everyone was coming with the pitchforks and the torches saying that you didn't get anything and Gordon Hayward walked away, but you got this trade exemption, which is, it's enormous. I mean, it's like $28 million or something. You know the math, Danny. But there is a fear that you're not going to use this exemption. Can you kind of address those fears? Is that this is something that you will actually consider using or be able to use in the year that you're allowed to use it?
Well, first of all, the first fear is if we didn't get the trade exception, we got something. That's what I don't understand. Is that commentary. We saved $34 million in payroll and luxury tax, a lot. We have two young players that are nuclear, three young players, and Marcus and Jalen and Jason, and that we're building around and we're going to have to build around and try to be competitive with over the next bunch of years. And getting under the luxury tax is a big thing this year. And being able to use our mid-level exception to sign Tristan Thompson. We wouldn't have got Tristan Thompson without a mid-level exception. So just we've been able to get a lot, and the fact that we got the trade exception is great, but it's also gravy. And we could use it to three players or four players to strengthen our bench at different times. We're not going to go do anything right now just because it's that time of year where trades are hot. People love their teams. Everybody has gotten better in the off season, and we'll see how the season goes and see where we are, but we'll have the ability to, you know, improve our team at trade deadline, improve our team next off season, if not. And it just gives us another vehicle to acquire players that we wouldn't otherwise have had. And, but, you know, again, we don't want to just take on a bad contract. We don't want to take on aging veteran players that are – there's always bad contracts to be had, but we're looking to acquire some good players. At the same time, right now, we're looking to have our young guys get a chance to play. And Grant Williams and Rob Williams – and, you know, Romeo, when he gets back healthy, I think are critical. Carson Edwards. We have some good young players that we're watching in the facility each and every day that we're excited about.
Well, it's, and you mentioned that all around, you know, the East got better. When you look at the team now with Gordon Hayward leaving, and I know you brought in Tristan Thompson, which I think all three of us like that signing. Yeah. Do you think that you did enough with the East getting loaded up? Do you think that you did enough this offseason?
Well, first of all, let me just say that every year, everybody gets loaded up. And every year, trade deadline, you know, everybody gets loaded up. Oh, my gosh, how come this team, you know, was able to get this guy? And, you know, it rarely turns out as what the commentary insists. Now, we know that there's some teams. I mean, obviously, the Lakers are loaded. And they've been loaded. And then you got LeBron and Anthony. That's a pretty good start, but I think that I don't see it that way. Obviously, with Kyrie and Kevin Durant coming back in Brooklyn, you know, the East is going to be different because they're incredibly talented players. But I don't really see it that the East has changed a lot. But I do know this, that I think that we're going to be better. And I'm looking forward to this year. And obviously the best way for us to improve is for Jalen and Jason and Marcus just to continue to improve. And I think they are improving too.
Danny, you were talking about players that are coming back. Kemba Walker's one of those guys. And you folks released a statement this morning that said basically Kemba had a stem cell injection back in October and he'll resume on-court activities this month. But a further update on his availability won't be until next month. So it seems the way you're wording this is he will not be ready for the beginning of the regular season. What is the timetable on him?
Yeah, so, you know, we are just being very cautious with Kemba. We didn't have a long enough offseason, and so we set out during the offseason. He saw a few different doctors just to research what was going on with his knee, why he didn't feel as good as he hoped. They all said, oh, you know, surgery is definitely not needed. You need to strengthen your quad and your hamstring and your glutes and you should be fine. And he got a stem cell injection. They go in and they take stem cells out of your hip and inject them into your knee. And it's, you know, it's a procedure that other players have done, and it's worked for some. And it can't hurt. But I think more than anything, this strengthening program, which he has been very, very diligent in, so far, and we're encouraged that he'll be able to return at full speed, but we do not want to rush the program just because we're starting so early. We're not going to push him to start it sooner now that the season is being started earlier than some anticipated. But I'm not worried about Kemba. He'll be back and give an opportunity for Marcus and Jeff Teague and Peyton Pritchard to play some minutes at point guard.
Talking to Danny Ainge. Danny, did you have dinner with James Harden locally? That was on the internet. It's a serious question.
It must be true, then.
Well, it was on the internet. Did you have dinner with James Harden? Yes or no?
I did not have dinner with James Harden.
Did you have lunch with James Harden? Did you meet with James Harden?
Did you break bread with James Harden?
Did you go to the North End?
Did you have water? Did you? But you didn't meet with James Harden, you're saying?
No, I did not meet with James Harden.
Well, Rich, to cross that Twitter account off our list to go to.
Darn it.
Follow, yeah.
The Photoshopped looked real.
He is on the record. And Danny, you'll be happy to know you were both Photoshopped wearing masks. So you were very responsible while you were eating with James Harden.
What, speaking of like wish lists, I'm going to go and ask this because it's going to come up because he's been in the news. You mentioned players that would die to be back here. Isaiah Thomas is one of them. I mean, you know, we've talked about him before, but now all these ex-players are saying, Chris Mannix wrote that all these like players, not ex-players, current players have played with him, we say looks great. You mentioned Kemba Walker being down for a little bit, and I know we've got, you know, some guys in the pipe, but have you considered Isaiah Thomas at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, he's one of my favorite players I've ever been around here in this job. He's the guy that I really look up to and I'm grateful for, and what the electricity that he brought here to the city. And I don't know where he's at. I actually just heard that he was back in, you know, about a week ago, maybe 10 days ago, and looking good. But, you know, we're loaded at the position. And, you know, we're not trying to get all small guards. But I think that, Kimba's not going to be gone very long. We really are excited about Pritchard and his future. And we signed Jeff Teague in the offseason. I'm just, we can't load our roster up with point guards. And by the way, Marcus Smart's going to play some minutes at point guard as well. We just don't have the room.
All right, Danny, you hired Evan Turner as an assistant coach, and it kind of took us all by surprise because he's a relatively young guy. He's only 32 years old and played last year. Describe the process of getting him on your coaching staff.
You know, Brad has always been a fan of Evan's. And Evan has always been Evan's been a friend of Brad's and Boston, and loved his experience here. And I was a little surprised to hear when Evan's agent called and said, "Hey, is there a spot for Evan on the coaching staff?" And we're not really in a hiring mode right now, but knowing how much Brad and Evan are, how close they are, and how much mutual respect they have for one another, I checked with Brad, and Brad was, we'd love to have Evan on our coaching staff, and we found a place for him, and so he's going to give coaching a try.
He's like one of those guys that when he was here, he was universally loved by everyone, right? I mean, is that are you basing like your hire on that, or did you see something in him? I'm still trying to figure it out. We all like the hire, but you know, what did you see in Evan?
Well, Evan has a good way with people. He's a good communicator. The players enjoy him because he's fun. He worked on his game. He competed at a high level. And I think he was a player that earned the respect of the coaches and the players. That sounds like an easy thing to do, but it's not always. And on top of that, Evan was a good player. I think that Brad felt like he could use an ex-player on his coaching staff. A lot of them are, you know, really don't want to get into coaching, some that he would like to have had before. And Evan was a guy that really seemed excited about the coaching, and it was even his own idea.
All right,
we jumped on it.
Well, good. As I said, I like to hire. I'd like to have him as a regular guest on the show, to be honest. But
yes.
You have a problem we have to talk about, Danny. This is something that's a little bit of an intervention. There were photos that came out that you took with Pritchard and Neesmith, the two new guys on the team. And, you know, you can't have the big deal because of COVID now, but you had the photo with them. You're I don't take my earbuds out guy, aren't you?
You know, I had no idea I had my earbuds in. I saw, one of my kids showed me that picture. I go, that wasn't very smart.
Yeah, he was on the phone with Washington trying to make a move for Cassius Winston.
you know what you're saying, Danny? This is like the biggest moment in those two guys.
Like, get rid of Pritchard, let's bring Winston.
And he goes, that guy couldn't even take his earbuds out for the most important moment of my life. What were you listening to, Danny? Come on, let us know. What did you listen to with those earbuds?
I blame the photographer, you know, I blame him. That's his job. But we were doing it so fast, you know, because in the facility, you got to have your masks on at all times in the same room. And I mean, I just like pulled my mask off very fast, clicked the picture and put it right back on. And, you know, just forgot about the earpods, which, yeah, it was a busy time. And I was answering a lot of phone calls at that time.
Yeah. Not enough to bring in the kid with the headband. Cassius Winston.
Yeah.
You wanted a four-year player at guard, and you took some kid jabroni out of Oregon instead of bringing in the real star. But, I mean, what are we going to do here? You know,
he was a four-year player at Oregon, right?
Was he a Naismith finalist? I don't know.
No, he wasn't.
Right. Yeah, first-team All-American.
Eh, well, what do I want me to do research? Come on. They barely played. No. They barely played last year. Come on. All right. Well, listen.
I like Winston, Fred. He's a good player. It'd be fun to see how his career goes.
I know.
I'm excited about him.
But I like you took a four-year kid. I like that. Late in the first round, because I figure you got two options late in the first round. Is one, you take a kid based solely on potential, as a kid who has not showed that you're solely on growth and potential that you think you could work with, or you take a kid that maybe you know all about, but a kid that's just shows he's good at basketball. And it's a simple way of saying thing, but I think it's accurate. And I like the idea of going for a four-year kid, a kid that's proved that he actually can play the game and not basing everything on, what ifs. I do think that that's good at the end of the first round. I applaud you for that doing that. Because there's always a Fab Mello there that you're like, eh. Boo. You know, not good.
I guess I'll take that as a compliment, Fred.
It was a compliment. I say you've evolved. Your drafting has evolved since you left Draymond on the board so many years ago. All right. All right. Well, listen, I have to ask questions at the end. My name's on the show. November was Diabetes Awareness Month, and once again, the Celtics and Sun Life teamed up to bring awareness to diabetes prevention through the Sun Life Dunk for Diabetes campaign. For every use of the hashtag SunLifeDunk, the number 4 diabetes, Sun Life donated $21 to the YMCA of Greater Boston's Healthy Habits for Diabetes Prevention and Management program. Together, Sun Life and the Celtics raised $105,000. For more information on diabetes programs and initiatives, visit Celtics.com/SunLifeDunk, then the number 4 diabetes. Danny Ainge, it's a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Everyone's going to be angry at us now that we didn't ask the correct questions, but what are you going to do?
There was one last question. Oh, what's going on with fans? Like, is there any kind of talk about what the experience of a Celtics game is going to be like?
Yeah, there's a lot of discussion. I think we're on memo 733, and it seems to be changing. So I don't know the answer to those. That's not my department, but it doesn't look like there's going to be fans as of right now. But I just don't know. We're hopeful. We're hopeful that vaccines come out quicker than we anticipate. But I don't know when fans will be back in the arena.
You're going to be frustrated because you're going to see on the road that fans are all over the place. And Massachusetts is going to be going, no.
Going to go to Miami. It'll be sold out.
Yeah, no. It's going to be one of the last ones. But it won't be the last one. I'll tell you that. You got California there. That's going to be like no can do. All right, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. We really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We'll talk to you throughout the season, hopefully.
All right, guys. Good to catch up.
All right, Danny, too. Thank you. There you go. Danny Ainge.
All right, a lot to unpack.
All right, yep. We shall unpack it. Mm-hmm. And you can call in and participate in the show, or you can do whatever you do online. 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mass this afternoon at 2. Right now, this is how Boston sports fans start the day. Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Get the Twitch app, search 98.5 The Sports Hub, subscribe. People conversate over there. You can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app at your app store. Listen to the show live. Listen to our podcast. Just had Danny Ainge on.
That was wild because there's a couple things that over the break I was thinking about that I'm just kind of unpacking with, you know, the Gordon Hayward stuff. By the way, we talked about this yesterday. You know, I think that there wasn't a lot more. I think Danny Ainge had a pretty good offseason. I mean, you addressed issues of the things that you needed. You know, down low, you got Tristan Thompson, who we talked yesterday. Tristan Thompson compared to Miles Turner for half the price. You know, he's people immediately write off
well,
Tristan Thompson.
Miles Turner, here's the argument for Miles Turner, and I looked into it, is that Miles Turner is more of what you want now in today's NBA from a guy his size, in that he is more of a volume three shooter. What you're dealing with Tristan Thompson is a guy that just is not going to shoot from the outside.
He's in the infant stages of doing that. He's now transitioning over to
right.
it. Last year was the first year
so
he started.
If you want bigs that can stretch the floor and you want guys that can all shoot from the outside, Miles Turner is a better player in today's NBA than Tristan Thompson.
Offensively, but
the argument would be, if you talk to Kevin O'Connor about it, is Kevin O'Connor would tell you that you'd be out of your mind not to want Miles Turner, I would imagine, because Miles Turner is what you want out of a big now, is that you want a guy that can shoot from the outside, and that if you can't, you're an antiquated piece.
But
now,
the difference is that for Miles Turner, you would have had to have paid $18 million
right.
a year for 3 years.
Right.
Tristan Thompson, who, by the way, it scores more than Miles Turner does.
Right.
He's better defensively than Miles Turner. And right now, that's what the Celtics need. Now, Miles Turner would have been great. He would have been fine. But that's a lot to give up to not get that $28 million exception, because that's something you would have been giving up if you would have gotten Miles Turner, because they would have thrown another player in there like Dougie
right.
McBuckets, and then you wouldn't have had that money to spend and that ability to get, you know, I think I heard Chris Forsberg say this the other day, like 80% of the players in the NBA make less than the amount of money that you've got for this trade exemption. So the world is your oyster. So, you could use it. Now, we talked to Danny about the fear some people have that he will never use it, and his answer was that, you know, you can he's not going to rush to use it right away. I'm sure he'll end up doing something with it. But here's the main things I got out of this. It was insinuated that Gordon Hayward left because he wanted more playing time. And I inferred from the rest of his answer was that his family may have wanted to be back in Indiana as well.
Yeah, they wanted small town living.
Yep.
That's how he put it.
And that makes sense. But when we asked about the three big names that have decided to leave in the last few years, whether that's a problem, which once again, the Kyrie thing, I never thought, I mean, it's like, who wanted him here anyway? You know, Al Horford got offered a ton more money, and that ended up being a good thing. And then, you know, what happened with Gordon Hayward, he said that there were different circumstances, none of them the culture, and that one of the three is dying to come back. Well, it ain't Kyrie,
no,
it ain't the guy that just
Kyrie.
Left. So Al Horford obviously realizes, hey, the grass isn't always greener, despite the amount of money that they're throwing at you. And I think Danny actually offered him fairly close to the amount that he got, wasn't it? When he ended up going to
Danny offered him three. Danny offered him 3 years, Philadelphia, and Horford was thinking about that, and then Philadelphia swooped in and offered him four. And that's one of those things. And I keep coming back to this. At the time, Horford's knee had to be managed.
Yep.
Now, that was another factor. Are you going to give a center in his 30s who has played 10 years in the league with a knee that's a problem, are you going to offer him 4 years? And I don't think anyone said, wow, you know, the Celtics should have offered him 4 years on $100 million. I don't think anybody said that.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you brought Horford back, you probably wouldn't have gotten Kemba.
Yep. No, you wouldn't have. You wouldn't have had the money to be able to do so. So that was a good decision as well. It's the contingent. It is interesting that there is a very vocal, although I think a smaller contingent of people who just Danny can do nothing right. Like, do nothing right. And I know that people had a right to be angry when Gordon Hayward left and they originally didn't have anything. But the whole time, you knew that something was up because neither side had announced the trade yet. Matter of fact, there was even, I think that Wojnarowski kind of hesitated for a while too because he knew something was being worked out. They end up getting the trade exemption. And then all these people who have yelled about Danny Ainge sucking really didn't know what to do once they found out, oh yeah, well now they've got $28 million to use. So they're still trying to figure out ways to yell. I don't know what more he could have done at this point. He got shooters through the draft. They can be a crapshoot. We don't know what's going to happen there. But he did get better down low, and he's got $28 million to spend. One of his players left. And you know what? There's a lot of clamoring for a guy that was the fourth option on this team. There are people who are like, ah, Gordon Hayward. You know, he's people are losing their mind now that he's gone. And I'm like, where were you when he was on the team? So you've got to, I mean, I think that Danny did a pretty good job. The problem is that everyone around him got better as well. He's right, though. You've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum who are just going to get better. You know, if Kemba Walker's healthy is a big question. Who knows what's going to happen there? They tried to get Jeff Teague to kind of, you know, patch that up and to get make something work. But I don't know what more he could have done.
Well, it's a big, again, it's a 10,000 feet scenario. Is if you're looking for 10,000 feet, when he got rid of the big three and got all those picks, there was an expectation or a hope that he would bring in a bunch of stars and repeat that kind
they of performance. They had one bridge year, Fred. One. They had one year where they weren't competitive, and that's it. Do you know how insane that is to go from having the big three and then being back in the Eastern Conference Finals a year later? Like, that's insane. You took that one year off the Rondo year, and then they were back and competitive again.
People saw these picks and thought never in a million years would he take them all, and they thought that they would be packaged for something and that, you know, it would look like a mini All-Star game when you went to the Garden. And, you know, instead he had the picks. He didn't feel there was a deal out there for him. And he's growing the team through the draft, which in the NBA it's not like other sports where you can do that. It's very rare that a team will build through the draft like that. And, you know, that's kind of where they are.
You are hoping that by taking these picks, you are replaced. It's kind of like the Patriots, where players get old and you have guys backing them up that are making little or no money. The hope is that you draft a kid like Peyton Pritchard, you bring him along for a few years, and then he's worth something making no money. Same thing with Neesmith. You want a shooter, and by all accounts in college, that's what he was. He can be a valuable piece for you off the bench, and maybe he develops into something. You got him in the low lottery, which, you know, in today's day and age is far from a guarantee.
Yeah.
So that's, you take these guys right in the hopes that they can fill in spots when guys that are established get hurt and or move on.
And you're hoping Jaylen Brown becomes a number two kind of star, which he isn't right now, but you're hoping that he develops in that. You're hoping that Jason Tatum becomes a, you know, elite star.
I see. Hang on. This is the thing. It's not about missing Hayward. It's about completely botching a deal because Danny wanted to try to rip off another GM. Once again, do you know what you got? Because you could have gotten Miles Turner, and you would have been locked into that for $18 million and like Dougie McBuckets. Instead, you have a guy who last year played better than Miles Turner. He was a double-double machine in Tristan Thompson for less money, and you have $28 million to spend. I don't understand how Danny Ainge failed there.
I will say this, and I know we got a break, but just a couple words here about Tristan Thompson. When the Celtics got Enes Kanter, my opinion was fans are going to love him because he's relentless on the glass, and he's a liability defensively, but he's relentless on the glass. Tristan Thompson can help you on both ends of the floor. He's not going to get destroyed in the pick and roll, and you could put him on the floor with Daniel Tice. That's the thing you couldn't do with Kanter. Thompson is more versatile. He's certainly a better producer on both ends of the floor than Kanter was. And yeah, he's making more, but this is a valuable piece coming off the bench. He started in Cleveland all those years. He's not going to start here. It doesn't appear.
He's coming off a career year, too.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, he's one of those double-double guys that'll shoot 50% from the field, and he doesn't require the ball for 5 or 10 seconds on one side of the floor. He'll go get you an offensive rebound and score a bunch of points on putbacks. So fans are going to love him from the second he starts playing.
Plus, he's got himself one of them Kardashians.
Right.
Oh, no, not one of the good ones.
Oh.
He's got
himself. Didn't Chloe, like, kind of all of a sudden become better
Chloe
looking?
And I think that Chloe would tell you this, is Chloe is a bit of an experiment. She's essentially had a face transplant. And even more, I would say she's had a head transplant.
She just like went her to the head store.
Her head is smaller than it was. They've shrunk her head.
Oh, that's way interesting,
dude. She looks like a you. I can't it looks like she has a mask on, and she looks like someone else. Like, if she was in a lineup and she had committed a crime 2 years ago and disappeared and then was in a lineup right now, there's not a chance in hell that anyone would pick her out of the lineup. She looks like a different person.
But she's still in the can. I'm in the can.
All right, let's get to these armpits coming up. We'll take a little break from the old sports ball because we got Will Brinson coming up at 9. A little armpit action for you. A little 10 minutes of comedy on the way. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And let's get loose here. Let's have a little fun. It's time to take a venture to places that no one wants to go. It's called...
No!
Who don't drink in Rocklahoma?
Your...
Who else in the level car say yeah? Yeah!
Armpits of America.
They cut my beard and forced me to eat it.
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm here in my nook. Just get this plexiglass out of the way. Jesus Christ.
It's become a daily battle with
you. It's just this thing that there is no purpose of it. Okay, great. There's plexiglass. On the record, I absolve Beasley Media of any responsibility if I catch corona. If me moving this piece of plexiglass is the difference between my sanity and getting corona, I'll take my sanity every day of the week.
You know, during the 2 to 6 show yesterday, I saw that on their show, none of them were in that studio.
Yeah, great. Well,
because, like, two of them were remote, and then Jim Murray, I think, was in, like, broadcasting where Nick is right now in, like, the side studio.
Yeah, they're all going to live forever. We've made the decision as a show that John and I, it's better if we're here. And that's the way it is. And, if they insist that we don't come in, we won't come in. But until that point, we're coming in. Not like we're heroes or anything. It's just better. It's just better for the show. It's better for the show that all three of us, Dan's effusively going. I mean, we're not in the same circumstance that you're in, obviously. You have your own thing, which is obvious that you have to protect yourself. But
dude,
John and I
would give my left nut to be in studio. I understand.
No one's
understand?
No one's questioning.
I don't want to be
questioning it.
No one's questioned it.
It's not ideial, but no one's questioning it.
No, I'm coming in simply because it's better for my sanity.
Well, you're not. You're coming in because it's better for the show, too.
Well,
it's better for everybody.
It's better all around.
John, if we all can't see each other and we're all at home, it's ridiculous. I don't have access to these computers or anything.
Sure.
I mean, it's better. Listen, if the station decides that we can't come in, then we can't come in. I'm not going to fight them on it. But until that point, I mean, it's better for everyone if we're here. What's the big deal? It's a commute. It's a half an hour commute. I'll tell you what, though. We're not going to have time to get to this thing because we're going to have to break. But I'll tell you this, is that when they move this station from Dorchester, I have a feeling we're going to get screwed. I have a feeling that...
To parts unknown?
Yeah, I have a feeling that they might cheap out.
Any hint as to where the parts unknown are going
to
be?
Well, it would be Needham or Newton is what I've heard, which would be great, is that we would move right into the NBC Sports studios. Because I could care less how big the studio is. I don't care if we're in a closet. That means nothing to me. What means something to me is how centrally located it is. But I just have a feeling that, because iHeart's in Medford, and I have a feeling that that's going to look like they're, broadcasting from next door. Move us to the North Shore or some shenanigans.
Welcome to Gloucester.
That's right. Hampton Beach. Funny. Let's just go up to the border, baby. Funny.
Welcome to Gloucester. There's going to be a...
One way in and one way out.
There would be a negotiation to stop all negotiations. I think that I might, Rich and I might have to build a studio if that was the case. All right. But by the way, Christmas is coming. And, you know, I got money laying around because fortunately I've been able to work when I wasn't in rehab. I only got docked a few days' pay. But I haven't traveled or done nothing like that. You know, haven't been going out and not drinking. I got money saved. So I said, I'm going to buy everyone a nice Christmas gift. And except for Rich, because, you know, what's the point?
Yeah, we don't get each other.
And so I got, I failed on yours. But I tried. I talked to the guys from Helmet. I got Nick something. I got Nick something nice. But I don't know what to get the rest of the gang. And I was trying. And so Mike Lockhart's got a daughter who's very into the Avengers. Into the Marvel Universe. So I came upon an opportunity where I could have bought this piece of memorabilia, which was signed by the cast of the Avengers. It wasn't a lot of money, you know, but it wasn't, you know, a ton of money. But it was, and I said, I'm going to get this. And my wife said to me, she goes, you're crazy. She goes, why would you do that? That's weird. And I said, why? And he goes, because you're giving, first of all, you have two daughters, and you're giving a gift to one daughter. And second of all, what kind of maniac gives a gift to someone's child? So I did not get that. So now it is...
Nick would like that. Wasn't he emotionally drained?
Oh, that's a good point.
I got Nick something. I got Nick something.
You got him the wrong thing then, because it sounds like...
No, the thing I got Nick didn't cost me money.
Nick's curious as a cat.
The thing I got Nick did not cost me money, but he'll like it. He'll like it. It's a bottle of my semen, which he can enjoy. No,
it's a save the date card.
Yeah, that's right. I won't come to your wedding, so you can save that money. Yeah, my gift to you is
Merry Christmas.
My gift to you is I'm most likely not drinking at your wedding, and you save that bar bill. No, but I got him something, and now, but I don't know what to do for everyone else because I could get John. I was kicking around the idea of getting John something Ken Griffey Jr. related, but he has all of that stuff.
Cards. I have a lot.
Yeah,
of cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I figured that I'm just adding to a pile of stuff that you already have.
You could just get him Ken Griffey Jr.
I thought, fly him in and
have him be like the
toy
guest.
Yeah, it would be like the toy. We could.
He could be like a special guest. Yeah. You know, it's like an in person cameo type thing.
Right. I would pay to fly him out. I would pay for a private plane.
I know somebody who did that.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're really cool.
It wasn't Ken Griffey, but it was a basketball player who was star.
It sounds just team. You know my feeling. It sounds like an absolute nightmare. That if I was the guy who was given a gift, like, hey, you can hang out with this guy, it would, and I knew the guy was getting paid to hang out with me, it's like being with a whore.
You know what?
They don't want to be there. You don't want to be there.
I thought the same thing. It ended up being awesome because, like, this
guy. Because you weren't involved. You weren't involved.
No. The guy ended up being, like the star of the party. Like, everyone loved this dude, and he was having, like, the time of his life. It was, like, it went way better than I thought it was going to be honest. Yeah,
except that he got paid, and he was there by not of his own accord.
It's true.
Because I know how I'd feel if I got paid to be at a party. I'd feel awkward as hell, and I want to get out of there. I might even end up having a good time, but it's still at the back of my head. I'm being paid to be here. It would be weird. I don't know. But no one's ever asked me to do a party, so that's... I used to do it at 99X. I used to broadcast from people's homes. And so I just always picked the hottest girl that was closest to the station.
Smart.
I think I was always within a five-mile radius of the station. There'd be people in the mountains like, come on out. Nope. I'll be controlling this. All right, Will Brinson's going to join us. Hopefully he'll behave today and not be aloof.
Are things still weird between you guys? Are you okay?
I'm fine. I mean, it's not like we dislike each other. It's just he was weird for a couple weeks. We've had
one with him since then, and it was fine.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, he just kind of shows up on the no one's taking him out of the calendar, so he kind of just shows up.
Okay.
All right, so we'll be right
out
back.
Out of habit, we'll see him.
We'll be right back with Will Brinson.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.